You have a story, and your story matters immensely. It matters to you, and believe it or not, and you and I need to believe this, we need to believe this with our whole hearts, God helping us, it matters to God. Nobody gets the story that they want. And yet in the midst of this, we are called to rejoice and be grateful for our lives. I will usually try to start the day first thing with that little statement from the 118th Psalm. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And sometimes I'll add the word somehow. And I remember talking not long ago when I was in Tulsa, Oklahoma with a man also from Rockford who lost a son to suicide and said being able to add that word somehow in the midst of what he was going through made such a difference. And I was so grateful for that conversation. Right now, it's kind of easy for me to rejoice because I'm with a group of friends. We get together every once in a while. Right now, I am in the beautiful state of Minnesota. It's beautiful in this month, not much longer. And probably the main feature when we're together, at least one of them, is we just laugh all the time. We are staying at a little Airbnb right now that has a number of suboptimal architectural design features, one of which is in the living room where we mostly hang out over the couch, there's a, it's not a chandelier, but it's a light fixture. And every stinking time I stand up, I bang my head on that fixture and they all just think it's the funniest thing they've ever seen and laugh hysterically. And I'm glad to be able to make that happen for them. But it doesn't take much. That's the thing. When you have people who love each other and love to be together, it's kind of interesting. It doesn't take a lot to induce laughter because there's something inside of us. God has made us this way to long for joy, and yet we struggle with it. And yet we struggle with it. I was last week in Montana with the son of a very influential teacher in my life, Jerry Hawthorne. Taught New Testament Greek and was a extremely formative person. And he brought a lot of joy to us. And yet he struggled deeply with anxiety and depression and a sense of inadequacy. And I got to read through notes that he wrote on the Sermon on the Mount last week. It's very moving to see that handwriting that was so familiar to me. And as he was beginning to talk about the Sermon on the Mount, He started by reflecting on being at church and singing a song and being struck by a phrase that he had sung 100 times, but he'd never really thought about it before. That happens to us sometimes. We go on autopilot so easily in worship and in life. This was a song by Isaac Watts. Isaac Watts was a hymn writer. He was also a logician, wrote a book on logic that was used at Oxford for, I think, a couple of centuries. And the chorus of this particular song that Jerry Hawthorne wrote about was, at the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. And Jerry said the phrase that struck him, kind of pierced him, was that final one, and now I'm happy all the day. Could we just sing words like that quite casually? And suddenly it struck Jerry to ask the question, am I happy all the day? And his answer was no, not at all. Often I go through an entire day without being happy at all, he wrote. I am one who struggles with depression and anxiety and has to wrestle deeply with my own emotions. And when I sing that song, it is not true. How can I sing that song? And Jerry was also a person of great integrity of character. So words and thoughts were not casual things to him. They were not things to be just bandied about glibly. And then he thought about that word, happy. In English, of course, it's connected often to what happens to us, perhaps all kind of from the same root. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus started with a word that's sometimes translated happy. The Greek word is makarios. It's a very, very rich word, blessed, or it could mean to be flourishing. And in the Sermon on the Mount, it has a particular context to it, and that context is that we are blessed, we are able to flourish, we can be happy, as we are living in the reality, the presence of the kingdom of God, the range of God's effective will right here in this world, where there is life and where there are birds singing and where the sun is shining, somehow I can be happy because God is here and God has given me these friends. God has given me the gift of the air that I'm breathing and the heart that is beating and the mind that is working and the body that is still somehow holding together. Blessed, happy, flourishing is the one who is loved by God, and in particular through the story of Jesus, as I align my story with that story, Jerry wrote, there is a question at the beginning of the song that Isaac Watts wrote. You might know it if you know of that song. Alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die, would he devote his sacred head for a sinner such as I? And the answer to that question, would he devote his sacred, is yes, he would. And yes, he did. He devoted his life and his teaching, his energy, his great heart, that sacred head, his blood, his life, to you and to me. And I live in that reality, and I live in that forgiveness, and I live in that freedom, and I live in that grace, and so do you. And so, at least in that sense, even as I struggle with my pain and my inadequacy and my depression and my anxiety, at least in that sense, I am blessed. I can flourish. I can experience the joy somehow. I can be happy because of what has happened in and through Jesus. And then, one additional thought. In the field of psychology, over the last several decades, there's a lot of work about happiness. It's often called subjective well-being in the research for a bunch of reasons that we don't need to go into right now. And one of the lines of research is that everybody has what's called a set point. This relates to other areas of life as well, but it may well be that there's a kind of genetic predisposition, kind of wiring issues ahead of time that set a certain range on how much happiness any given individual is capable of. It's part of why we shouldn't judge other people, because we don't know what their genetic predispositions is, what they have to wrestle with in terms of their own wiring, and maybe there is a kind of ceiling or a lid for any one of us in a certain area, a bit like IQ or something else. Now, it's somewhat controversial. It can lead to a kind of fatalism, but it's altogether possible for any one of us that, given our nature, given what it is that we were born with, we will always wrestle with things to a certain degree. But here's what I was thinking. For some stupid reason, when I am with these people that I have known now, in some cases for more than 50 years, and that I love dearly, and that we have so many shared memories with, and jobs come and go, but we all have known and loved each other since way before then, so it doesn't matter all this much. And when I just stand up and forget and bang my head, it makes them laugh one more time. I am given the gift of being able to bring joy to somebody else, even if it's just by banging my head. And here's what it made me think. There is no set point on the joy that you bring to others. There might be a set point. It might be part of the fallibility and reality of humanity and finitude of living with a body and genetic predispositions. There might be a set point on how much happiness I am capable of, even at my best, and even if God is empowering me. But there is no set point on the joy that I'm able to bring to other people. So now today, you can bring joy to the people around you. You can notice them. You can look at them. You can ask them a question. You can smile at them. You can shake their hand or give them a hug. You can write something funny or delightful or unexpected in an email. You can look at something funny. You can, if nothing else, find an Arn Cat video and send it to somebody. You can bang your head on a light fixture. You can bring joy to somebody, and there is no set point. And of course, our ultimate example, our ultimate inspiration, the story that we align our stories with to do that with other people is the story of Jesus, who says, I have come that you might have my joy, that my joy might be in you and your joy might be full. And he did it in a way that followed the path of great sorrow. Alas, and did my Savior bleed? Did my Sovereign die? Would he devote that sacred head for a sinner such as I. Yes, he would. Yes, he did. I will rejoice in the Lord. I will try to bring joy to the people in my life today. This is my story.
Hey, if you enjoyed that video, be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel so you don't miss any future teachings from John Ortberg here at Become New. My name's Tim, and I'm a part of the team here. This series is all about stories. Everybody has a story, and everybody's story matters. And we want to know about your story, whether it's a story of coming to faith or a story of spiritual growth. Whatever it is, we're here for you. You can email that to us at connect@becomenew.com, or you can text it to us. You can also sign up for daily reminders whenever we drop a new video via text by texting the word become to the number 855-888-0444. You can also send us prayer requests there. There's a team of us that meet to pray each weekday for viewers just like yourself. If you'd like to receive the emails that go along with each video, be sure to check that out at becomenew.com/subscribe. More than a video to watch, this is really a community to belong to. And we're so glad that you're a part of it. We'll catch you next time.